Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, I can do anything. I can do all things. Isn't that awesome? And you know what's really awesome? It's the truth, because Jesus said it. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Praise God, all you got to do is believe, and all things are possible. Oh, Lord, help us. I mean, we need to walk in that, huh? How far short have we been falling of that? To walk around knowing all things are possible with me because I'm a believer. I mean, that's what I am. It is my nature to believe. If you've been born again, if the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, it is your nature to believe. In other words, it's normal. It's normal. Now, if you haven't been born again, it's not normal. See, you got to get saved. You got to get saved. But once you get saved, once you get born again, once you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, then believing is easy. And believing is normal. It's our nature. And all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to you and I. And that's how Jesus walked the earth, right? He walked the earth knowing all things are possible with me. Because I believe God the Father. And then he turns around and says, we can do the same things. We can believe the same way. I said, how many people know believing didn't go out with the last apostle? Of course, there never was a last apostle. We still have apostles today. Amen. Which we might hear about in a little bit. There's still apostles. But people say, well, healing went out with the last apostle. I guess in their minds, that's like Paul the apostle. You know, healing went out with the last. What, did believing go out? Did believing go out with the last apostle? Because Jesus said, all things. Would all things include healing? All things are possible. Healing is possible. To just a special few whom God has chosen to pick in his sovereignty. No. No, all things, healing is possible to those who, to all who believe. To those who believe. Only believe. Only believe. And healing is yours. See, it's not some kind of real weird special thing that religion tries to paint it out to be. Healing, oh, now healing, that's not for everybody. God heals some of the people some of the time, but he don't heal all people all the time. You can't expect healing all the time for everybody. Well, can you expect believing from folks? Can we expect believing from people? Can we expect people to believe the Bible? Can we believe that people can believe God? That all things are possible with him? Well, if you believe all things are possible with him, then bless God, all things are possible with you who believe that all things are possible with him. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. So, just deal with some of that religious stuff right up front. We'll just kick that right out the door real quickly. No, thank God. All you got to do is believe, and believing did not cease with the coming of the New Testament. Miracles did not cease with the coming of the New Testament. Because believing is what accesses these things from God. And thank God, you and I, he created our nature to believe. So he made believing easy for us. And you think about that. Now, Jesus, when he walked the earth healing people, these folks weren't even believers. They were not born again. They did not have the Spirit of God. I mean, they were believers in a religious sense, but they weren't believers by nature. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And he is the Spirit of believing. He's the Spirit of faith. And yet, look at the kind of things Jesus did. And you say, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus, time and time again, blamed it on them. He blamed their healings on them. People that came to him, God healed, he would say to them, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. He said, well, God in his sovereignty healed you. No, he didn't say that. He said, your faith in God healed you. So he would, time and time again, he was blaming it. He was blaming it on their faith. Praise God. Well, he's looking for here in this place tonight is a little faith. Faith isn't some big deal. Do you have the Spirit of God? Well, then you have the Spirit of faith. So you have the source of faith. So say, I have faith. See, we're not trying to get faith. We have faith. See? We read over there, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And we think faith's coming out of the Bible. No. That word, when it says faith comes by hearing, that is also used when Jesus casted out devils and said, come out. Come out. Come. In other words, faith in you comes out by hearing and hearing the Word of God. As we get in the Word, faith comes out. In other words, we already got it, but the Word shows it up. The Word helps us to see what we have, right? Just like looking in a mirror. You don't look in a mirror to get a face. You look in a mirror because you have a face. A face doesn't come by looking in a mirror. And faith doesn't come by looking in the Bible. Come in the sense that you don't have it and it comes to you. No, it comes forth from you. It comes, you see in the mirror, ooh, God, what God has done in you, who he is in you, and what happens? Your faith comes alive and it just reaches out and just takes all things. All things from God. So get ready to just take it all tonight. Somebody say, I'm going to take it all tonight. In these healing and miracle meetings. Right, these are special meetings where God has instructed us to emphasize healing and miracles. And there is a difference between healings and miracles. And I wanted to share a little bit of that up front to you tonight. When we're talking about a healing, the word healing means to return to a sound state or to restore to a sound state. But here we're talking about divine healing. So we're talking about being restored physically to a sound state supernaturally. Supernaturally being restored physically. And of course the word healing denotes a process. Healing many times can take a little time. It's not always instantaneous. And we need to understand that too. That when we receive that divine healing from God, man, our bodies are being restored. Things are being put back and being made the way God originally intended them to be. You know, doesn't that make sense that God would want your body to run the way he originally intended it to be? Do you think he built the thing so that he can break it down? Right? He built it and then he likes watching it not work right. Well, I mean, God is not the mad scientist. I got news for you tonight. He's not warped. God is not warped. God made you a certain way, made your body to function a certain way, and guess what? He wants it to work the way he created it to function. That's what he wants. Well, is it God's will to heal? I don't know. Is it God's will for your body to do what he created it to do? It's a pretty simple question, isn't it? Is it God's will to heal me? I don't know. I mean, is it God's will for your body to function the way he created it to function? What do you think? I mean, you don't have to study a whole lot of the Bible to get that one. You can just have that right now, right at the gate here. I mean, he made your body to work a certain way. Obviously, he made it to work a certain way because that's the way he wants it to work. All right. So healing restores our bodies, causes it to work right, but it does it supernaturally by the Spirit of God. And then miracles of healing is a restoration plus a recreation. When we start talking about miracles, we're talking about things being created that aren't there. Body parts that are missing. Things that were maybe taken out in a surgery. You know, there's people, they've had rods replace bone. People have had all kinds of different things happen. And so it's more than just healing where the body's being restored. There are sometimes things that need to be recreated. And so when we're talking about miracles, we're getting over into restoration and recreation of things. Or it could also be a miracle of healing. Can also be healing plus deliverance from evil spirits. You know, many times in healing people, Jesus dealt with demons. And he commanded the evil spirits to come out. So it wasn't just a case of healing only. He dealt with demons. Demons that were behind working in people's bodies, causing their bodies not to work right. So Jesus, he many times dealt with demons. And then over in Mark chapter 9, verses 38 and 39, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he was talking about casting out demons, and he referred to it as the working of a miracle. The working of a miracle. Casting out demons is a working of a miracle. How many people know there's no natural cure for demons? It's not, you never go to a doctor, they take an x-ray, and they go, oh, wow, you got two demons right here. I mean, look at the picture. You got, see the fangs. You'll never see that on an x-ray machine. There's no natural cure. It's a supernatural cure, but it's stepping over into the miraculous now. Now we're going to the source of a person's problem. Not in every case do you have to deal with a demon, but there are cases where you need to deal with the demon. Otherwise, the sickness just keeps coming back. You know, they get healed, but then if you don't get rid of the demon, then the sickness can come back again. So thank God for the work and the miracles that will deal with demons. And of course, when a healing is instantaneous, that really is a miracle of healing. So that's a little difference between healing, miracles, miracles of healing. We need to understand these things, right? Because we want to receive these things. Not only receive these things, but as believers, we want to be able to administer this to other people. Because that's what believers are called to do. They're called to preach the gospel and what? Lay hands on the sick. Why? So that they will recover. So we got to understand these things and become skillful in ministering healing to others. Because that's all part of the gospel. We have a healing gospel. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them. See, the word and healing are one. The word and healing are one. So if we're going to minister the word to others, then healing should be right there with it. It really makes no sense to me that anybody would minister the gospel and then second guess, doubt, or not even believe in healing when the word of God is, our gospel is a healing word. And yet we see that all the time, right? We see all that doubt and unbelief in many, many churches. And I hit that tonight because that affects people. That affects people more than they realize. So we need to address these things and see the foolishness of rejecting healing. And miracles, they are to be normal, it's to be natural, it's to flow, it's a part of who we are as believers, it's a part of what the Word of God is. It is a healing word, it is a miracle working word. That is the B-I-B-L-E, and that is the book for me. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Now, God's been moving, and we've seen all kinds of great healings in our services. Many times, Jean, she gets what's known in the Word as a word of knowledge. And people have come up. We've seen great things. You want to share some of those testimonies, darling? So the Lord's put some things specifically on my heart to share with you all tonight concerning the anointing. We need to understand the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah the 10th chapter. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so we're going to hear the word concerning the anointing. And so faith's going to arise concerning the anointing, to do what the anointing does. You say, well, what does the anointing do? Well, let's look over here in Isaiah chapter 10, and in verse 27, the prophet Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, declared, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." I believe the day and hour he's talking about is the day and hour we're living in right now. He says it'll come to pass in that day. We could say in our day. It's come to pass. It's happening. It's happening now in our time. That his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. How many people know our real enemy is not with flesh and blood? Our real enemy is not with flesh, even our own flesh and blood. Of course, we're talking about sickness, disease, and talking about divine healing for these things. Well, the root of the problem really isn't flesh and blood, but the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's devils, it's demons. The devil is behind burdens, heavy burdens, and putting yokes on people. And sickness, of course, is a yoke. What is a yoke? Well, in the natural, a yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to a plow. And so, you know, we've seen, animals yoked together plowing a field. Well, here he's talking about humans being yoked to things. And a synonym for yoke is tyranny. Because again, when we're talking about a yoke, it's regarded as oppressive or burdensome. It's oppressive. It's something that's burdensome. So some synonyms are tyranny, oppression, domination, enslavement, servitude, bondage. Well, it'll come to pass in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulder and his yoke. And again, his yoke is referring to the devil, because he's the one behind all burdens, all oppression, all enslavement. And so he's the one behind all the yokes, and he said his yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. And the anointing is likened to oil. Many times oil is used symbolically concerning the anointing. And just like you can anoint yourself with oil, you can anoint yourself with cream. What does that mean? That means you can pour it on yourself like suntan lotion and you rub it in really good, you know. And you rub it in until it's just a part of you. Well, that's what the anointing can do. The anointing can be poured upon you, rubbed into you, so that you are anointed with it. You're smelling like it. You're smelling like the anointing. And the anointing is the Holy Spirit, who is the life of God. Jesus himself was anointed. We see that over in Luke, the 4th chapter, when Jesus came into this world, even though he was God incarnate, he emptied himself of all his divine attributes as God and put on flesh and blood and became like you and I. The Bible says God cannot be tempted by evil, but yet Jesus was tempted by evil at every point, because he had become just like you and I. And he is the ultimate example for you and I on how to live life in this earth. And he was anointed. We see over in Luke, the 4th chapter, as Jesus was getting ready to enter his ministry, before he had ever done a single healing or worked a single miracle, Jesus was first anointed. Here in Luke, the 4th chapter, and in verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's where we just read from. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It was referring to the anointing. It says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, to set free those who are oppressed." Remember, another meaning for yoke is oppression. Jesus was anointed to destroy the yoke of oppression. He did not do what he did in his earthly ministry as God in the flesh. He did all the miracles, all the healings that he did as a man anointed of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's why he stood up and declared this to the people that he wanted to minister to. He wasn't there in his own strength. He said, "The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." Jesus wasn't just standing there as an orator or just a good public speaker. He preached the gospel by the anointing. There is an anointing to preach the gospel. And what does the anointing do? It destroys yokes and it removes burdens. So when the gospel is being preached by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Yokes are going to be destroyed. Burdens are going to be removed. There's going to be a supernatural working of God in people's lives, because it's all being done supernaturally by God. We got to cultivate a consciousness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have to have faith in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And notice verse 14, it said, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Everybody say, "The power." I like power, don't you? The power of the Spirit. That word in the Greek language is dunamis. And it's where we get our English word dynamite. It's explosive power. Explosive power in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. It'll just blow up, destroy, annihilate the works of the devil. I like that. It doesn't just cut it up in little pieces. It blows it up. It destroys it. Annihilates. Why? So that it can't get put back together again. Right? That's why Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Completely free. Total annihilation of all oppression, of every yoke. So here he says in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Then verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Notice that, how the power of God and the anointing of God are put together. That the anointing is the power of God. Isaiah said in chapter 10, verse 27, it's yoke destroying, burden removing. We can add power. It's yoke destroying, burden removing, power. That's what the anointing is. Of course, over in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus rose from the dead, after he had finished his earthly ministry, that was not the end of healings and miracles. In fact, notice here in Acts 1 how how this book starts out. It says in verse 1, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Now, the book of Acts is written by Luke. And Luke also wrote another book in the Bible. It was, I'm drawing a blank. Luke. That was it. Luke wrote the book of Luke. And so when he's writing the book of Acts, he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." He's referring to his former account, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. But I want you to notice this here. He says, "Of all that Jesus finished and wrapped up." No. "All that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." Notice that the whole book of Luke was the former account that Luke had written. And he says everything from his birth all the way to his death, burial, and ascension into heaven, he said, was all just the beginning. Was all the things he just began to do. After Jesus ascended to the heaven and into the heavens, it had only just begun. What? His ministry of preaching the gospel, healing, delivering, miracles, signs, wonders, people being set free, captives set free of all oppression. Jesus' part was just the beginning. Now the book of Acts, he hands the baton off to the church. He gives it to the church for us to now continue what he began and to be the ones that complete it. We're to complete what Jesus began. We're to keep doing what Jesus did. And that's why he said to his disciples before ascending into heaven a second time, after walking among them and teaching them, getting them ready for their earthly ministries, he says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to set at liberty those who are bound, to heal," right? All these things. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me." He's upon me with power to do these things. Now Jesus says, "You shall receive power." And it's the same power, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was anointed with. That is what is available to the church today. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Upon you. And this is for every child of God, every born again believer, every Christian. How many of you know Jesus is the Christ? Christ is not his last name. The word Christ is a Greek word. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. In Greek, it's Christ. But in English, it's anointed. That's what it means in English. For some reason, they didn't translate it. Not sure why. He's Jesus the anointed. Christ, anointed one. You are Christians. You are anointed ones too. Are you hearing me? You are anointed ones too. So he has anointed his church. He wants his people to be filled with his Spirit. He wants that anointing on their lives so that they can go out, destroy yokes, and remove burdens. Now again, this is new to the new covenant or to the New Testament church, because under the old covenant, Israel, the believers in Israel, they could not be anointed unless they were either a prophet, a priest, or a king. Those were the three types of people or offices that the Lord anointed back then. And of course, David, King David, was all three of those things. He operated in all three of those anointings. He was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was a king. And he said in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 92, he said, God has anointed me with fresh oil. Fresh oil. He had that anointing on his life. Now you and I have the anointing. It's for all believers. It wasn't for all believers back then. Back then, it was in the temple, in a place called the Holy of Holies. And only the priest could go in there once a year into that Holy of Holies. Man, what an honor and a privilege we have. And I mean, they were so cautious in how they walked into that Holy of Holies, those priests. And now God says, through his blood, through the sacrifice he made for you and I, so that our sins have been thoroughly washed away, now you and I, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy of Holies is now in us. And now God is in us. And he is also to be upon us. We are to be anointed with him for ministry, for service. To be yoke destroyers, burden removers. To walk, operate, live in the power of God. Don't just live a natural life, but a supernatural life. And that's why Jesus said over in John chapter 14 and in verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Did you just hear that? Jesus said, you who believe in him shall do the same works that he did, and even greater works. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 21, Paul, by the Spirit of God, declared, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ," or in the Anointed One, "and has anointed us, is God." God has anointed us. He has anointed us. The Amplified Bible says it this way: "Now, it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ," or in the Anointed One, "and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit." Oh, hallelujah. He has anointed us with the gifts, empowering us. Everybody say empowerment. Man, God empowers us. He empowers us with his Spirit. There's some folks, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they just got a little shandai rondai about them. You know, and some folks just barely even have that. But dear Lord Jesus, we've got to open our eyes to the truth about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and recognize that what Jesus began to do, you and I are to be continuing and bringing to completion here in the earth. We're to be doing the same works that he did. And he said, even greater, we should be going even beyond what Jesus did. Greater in number, because there's more of us. It was just one Jesus, but now there's many of us that make up the body of Christ, the body of the Anointed One. More in number, and also greater miracles. Jesus, I got news for you. Jesus, in his entire earthly ministry, he never raised anyone from spiritual death. That wasn't until after he rose from the dead that men were spiritually made alive and born again. And how many of you know raising somebody from spiritual death is greater than raising somebody from physical death? Because after you raise somebody from physical death, it's only a matter of time before they die again. Right? All the people Jesus raised from physical death, they're all dead. But you raise somebody from spiritual death,
Oh, hallelujah. They get to live on and on and on throughout all eternity. That's a greater work. Hallelujah. But now don't limit the miraculous to that one miracle. Even though it's the greater, man, there's all kinds of other miracles. How about the raising of the physically dead? How about raising up body parts that aren't working? What about causing things physically in your body that aren't working to work right? What about that pain and the source of that pain being driven out from your body? Come on, we have enough. If we can lead somebody to the Lord, if we can raise somebody from spiritual death, come on, it's an easy thing to fix somebody physically. It's an easy thing. See, we got to get our mind renewed. It's an easy thing. The thing that makes it difficult is this knot right here between your two shoulders. That's the thing that makes it difficult. It's in our thinking. It's in our thinking only. If we can get our thinking from the word, preaching of the word of God, we can get that straightened out. We can really grasp these things. Then, man, like little children, we can just walk in the power of the kingdom of God. We can see the miraculous in our lives, and it'll be an easy thing. Can you say amen? So now, understand that in addition to a general anointing that is available for every Christian to declare the good news, you're anointed to declare the good news, to share the gospel with others. He also says in Mark 16, he said, believers, generally, just general believers, will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You are anointed to do that. There is a general anointing to do these things, to do the kind of things that Jesus did. But then also there are special anointings. And very anointings that are specific. They're to do a specific work. We have special meetings because God has special anointings to do special things. There are some specific things that he wants to accomplish. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible says, therefore he says, Jesus says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Remember what we just read over in the Amplified Bible in 2 Corinthians 1:21. It said, now it is God who establishes us and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Here in Ephesians 4:8, it says, when he ascended on high, that's after he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Gave gifts to men. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go there tonight. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Here, the Bible talks about some of these gifts. And what they are individual, specific, special anointings that God has given to people in the church. Special anointings, just like in the medical field. You know, there's doctors that are referred to as general practitioners, right? You go to them for everything. And you go in there, and it doesn't matter what it is. You go to your general practitioner, you know, and he helps you with everything. And then if he sees something that, you know, it needs a little bit more attention, then he's able to give to it. It gets out beyond his field of expertise. He'll refer you to a specialist, someone that is especially equipped to handle that specific problem. Well, it's the same way spiritually. It's the same way spiritually. It's the same way with the anointing. There is a general anointing for the body of Christ. And then there are specific anointings that come upon people that make them specialists in certain areas to minister healing, deliverance, or whatever it might be that they are anointed to do. So there are specific anointings, and we need to understand that, yes, everyone is to be a Christian, an anointed one. We're all to be anointed with a general anointing, and we need to be working it, using it, becoming skillful in it, growing in it, not just leaving it at home when we go out. But looking to lay our hands on people and share the gospel with people, knowing that there's power backing us up. That's fair. But yet there is also specific anointings. I've been anointed to preach the gospel. to get up and minister to God's people. There's a special anointing on me to do what I'm doing right now. And not everybody can do that, because not everybody's called to it and not everybody's anointed for it. And that's another thing to realize. It's not enough to just be called to it. You have to be anointed for it. And so just because a person senses the calling for something, many times they jump out and they follow that calling before they've been anointed to stand in that office. It's called getting out ahead of God. And people have made big messes doing that. So you can't just be called to it. You got to be anointed for it. So here he mentions 9 specific anointings. Notice what he says in verse 4. Actually, let's go back to verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, because that's what we're talking about, spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we should not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Or we should not be ignorant concerning the anointing and the various different anointings. Let's go to verse 7. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for to one is given the word of knowledge. He's talking about people in the body of Christ. There are people that have an anointing, and it's referred to as the word of knowledge, and that causes them to have knowledge about things that they would never have known in their own natural ability. It comes by God. How many of you know God knows all things? So a word of knowledge is God anointing them with certain knowledge about certain things to, of course, bring about the destroying of yokes, removing of burdens, and the deliverance from all oppression. So he says, to one is given, we could say, the anointing of the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is knowledge of things pertaining to the future. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit, that's knowledge of things in the past or the present. To another, verse 9, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this isn't faith that comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. This is a special faith that goes out beyond your faith. You need to have faith, and you need to be growing in your faith. But then there's a faith that'll come upon you. It's an anointing, and it'll cause you to believe for a thing that you in your own faith could never believe. He says, to another, faith, we can say special faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Healings, notice that's in the plural, because there's an anointing for different healings, for different ailments that people are facing. Different ailments, so different anointings. Specialists, a specialist anointing to take care of specific physical problems. Verse 10, to another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. A lot of people have gotten this confused. Well, tongues isn't for everybody. No, it is. This is talking about a special manifestation of tongues where there is an interpretation that goes along with it. Not everybody has that, but every believer can speak in tongues. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So notice that. He distributes this, and they're all different anointings. Same Spirit, different anointings. Different anointings. That's why you never want to limit God, put God in a box. Well, God only does it this way. I've never seen it that way. Therefore, I don't believe that. Well, God works in a lot of different ways. He does a lot of different things through a lot of different people, and you don't want to limit him and say, well, I've never seen it like that before. I've never seen it like that before. No. You need to open your heart. There's a lot of things you haven't seen that God still wants to do. Right? We can't let our limited thinking limit God. We got to open our hearts and our minds to him and recognize God does different things through different people. And one person will be strong in one gift, be anointed in one way. Someone else will be anointed in another way. And we need to be able to recognize that. Recognize the different anointings on the people that God places over us in life to help us. We got to recognize the anointing. So we say, I don't need anybody, I just need God. Well, you're in big trouble. Because everything God does in the earth, he does through people. If he's going to get something done in your life, he's going to do it through you. If he's going to do something in your life, it may need the help of some other people. And so God anoints people. God never just said, I don't need anybody, I'm God. Pa-poo! And just he just blasts people from heaven. Something just hit me from heaven. Now, he anoints people from heaven. He anoints people from heaven to blast people. To destroy yokes and to remove burdens. So we need to recognize that. Recognize different anointings. And you might be strong in one anointing, or somebody might be strong in one anointing, and somebody else is stronger in another anointing. And we need to know how to defer to the stronger anointing or the anointing that's needed at that moment. Because there are different measures of the anointing of God. Different measures of God's power. There's a general anointing for everybody, but then there's those that are given a specific anointing, and usually it's a lot more powerful than just the general anointing. And I mean, just the anointing to preach is such an awesome thing, because there's been times, you know, I'm just thinking just recently, I was kind of tired, and I was just feeling kind of stiff. And anyway, it was getting close. About an hour before service started, you know, I had been kind of like that, just kind of feeling kind of draggy. Don't know if it was because I didn't have my vitamins or what. But I was feeling kind of draggy. And about an hour before service started, all of a sudden, everything got real clear. My mind got real clear. This energy came on me. I felt refreshed. I felt strong. The achiness left. I mean, I was ready to preach. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I come out, preach like a house on fire, and God's moving, and things are happening, and then I go back, and after I shake the last hand, and I'm getting ready to leave, all of a sudden I start feeling a little heavy, groggy, and stiff again. And I said, no, I'm not going to have that. And now I had to use my faith to resist it, because that anointing, which came on me for a purpose. Once that purpose was over, that anointing left. I don't walk around anointed to preach all the time. I would drive everybody crazy in the house. You kids, get down here. I need you to clean this mess. Rama! I'm about to break some yokes in this house. Musa, lying in bed at night. Hey! I'm ready to sleep, praise God. My sleep's going to be stressed. I'm pounding on the pillow, you know. No, man, that wouldn't be good. No, once that appointment, that specific appointment is over, that anointing will lift. But now we can live by that general anointing, and we can live by our faith in the Word of God. And so, man, I said, no. And I resisted that. And I said, no, bless God. The Spirit of God is with me. I am strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And I used my faith. And praise God, I did just as good as when I was anointed with the anointing to preach. Amen. I mean, years back, I remember having symptoms before preaching. And every symptom left right before I ministered. I said, praise God. My nose cleared up. Congestion left. It was beautiful. Got out there, preached. Soon as service was over, I left, said goodbye, get ready to leave. All of a sudden, started feeling congestion, everything coming back on me again, see. But thank God that anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. Hallelujah. I needed to just receive it for myself, and I did. Praise God. Right after that, I recognized I need the anointing for myself. That anointing came on me for the people. Now I got to receive it for myself. Can you say amen? So thank God for the anointing. And notice he calls it the manifestations of the Spirit. Why? Because the anointing can be perceivable. And able to be touched. There's people you could feel the anointing. And, you know, for years, I was operating in the anointing. I was preaching as a youth pastor out in Oklahoma. And I saw God do amazing things. I didn't feel a thing many times. I've laid hands on people, watched them fall on the ground, overcome by God, not feeling a thing. But over time, I learned to become sensitive and discerning of that anointing. And now many times, you know, you feel fire in your hand. Just as I'm starting to say that, right, I'm feeling something going on in that hand right there. And you just start feeling the anointing of God. And it has been overwhelming to people's physical bodies where they just fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Fall out under that power. Just overwhelm. But get up blessed. Get up blessed. And if they had problems in their body, they need to be getting up healed and delivered. Amen? Because that's what the anointing is administered to them for. It's not just for a thrill, but it's to transform their life. It's to destroy the yokes and remove the burdens. So there is a specific, special anointing in this place. If you go on in 1 Corinthians 12 to verse 28, it talks about there are different offices that God anoints. God, in verse 28, it says, and God has appointed, or we could say anointed and appointed. Because what he appoints, he anoints. God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Then he goes on, are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak? Now again, the tongues here, do all speak with tongues? The answer is no, because it's talking about that special tongue that is used for ministry, where there is an interpretation. That's why he says, do all interpret? And the answer is no. But yet, there are miracles and there are healings that can be received by faith in God's word by anybody, anywhere, at any time. There is a faith in the general word of God, and there's healing in the general word of God, and then there's faith in what the Word of God talks about concerning the anointing. And we understand that there is a specific anointing from God. Can you say amen? Thank God for the anointing that destroys the yoke, removes the burden. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.